Welcome to Tea
with Mrs. S, a podcast about relationships, life, and everything around us.
So Tea, where our topic today is kind of going to be a serious one because of the recent death of a popular, what was she, a popular, was she a pastor? Or was she just a gospel singer? I'm not sure.
What I know is that she was a very powerful musician, singer. Mm-hmm. And she could praise God like, oh my God, if you hear her praising God in Igbo. You know, like those Yoruba people, when they come and they're, I don't know what they call them. Those people that they'll just be sounding like water cannot, like, I mean, when they call you, oh, ancient of days, oh, this of that, mm-hmm. oh, you.
She was the Igbo version.
She was the Igbo version. She was really good. And when she starts speaking, it would just be rolling off her tongue. You're like, wow. You
know, yeah, it's really good. For the first time, I think I've heard that song before. I'm not sure. The Ekweme song.
Heck, but what do you mean you're not sure? Of course you have.
But for the first time, like I saw the post, one mm-hmm. of my friends posted on Facebook, and then she put the video, the YouTube video. So she was like a guest on that actual song. It's actually somebody
right.
else's song, and she
right.
sang on there and everything.
Right.
So, and I heard it. Yes. And I was like, okay. And then there's some other musician called Sinach. So I'm like, I don't know the story. And I tried to do a little digging to find out. And then it's a totally different woman.
Don't let people kill you.
It's crazy that they following. Have the same, they're both gospel
Sinachis.
Singers and they're both Osinachis. It's interesting. Anyway, so then I saw where they said this lady, the Osinachi Machiku lady, they were announcing her passing, and they said that she was hospitalized for 3 months and she has succumbed to whatever that ailment is. That's what I've seen in the news. But then when I see people posting about it, they're all going off on the daddy GOs and the mommy GOs of the world. And they're saying, or they're alleging that her husband murdered her. And they're saying that she had been in an abusive marriage for a very long time, and that the daddy GOs of the world and all those people were advising her to stay. Then I've seen the other bits where somebody told her that she was asked, that she's the one who chose to stay. So it's a lot. Let's talk about it, because that it's bonkers to me.
What is bonkers to you?
That I'm sitting down and I'm seeing these posts, and the angst and the anger is towards the daddy GO's religion, all these people who say, you know, whoever it was that gave her the advice to stay in an abusive marriage, all the anger is anchored or pointed towards these people. And I hate to do this because it's fresh and, you know, everybody's upset. But somehow, this adult person who is admired by a lot, who is ministering to a lot of people through her voice, for some reason, I hate to say it because it's like, oh my God, she just passed away. But how is it that she is not responsible for her decision? You know, why is that? And I'm not saying that people shouldn't be angry at people for giving people this advice, but if this is someone's ministry and their ministry is to keep people in marriages no matter the problem, that's their ministry, right? Why someone who has two legs, two hands, two eyes, two ears, why they can't say for themselves, and they know that there's a lot of people who are looking up to them, and there are a lot of people who are supporting the same person. Why is it that she couldn't have made that conscious decision to exit stage left for her life? And I don't know if she has children. I don't know all that. And if she does have children, why couldn't she do that for her children as well as herself?
I don't think it's really as simple as that. A lot of times when we're sitting on the outside looking in, it's like, oh my God, why couldn't you? Why not? But I want to believe that the reason that these kinds of situations exist and why we're always going to talk about them, if it's Osinachi today, Gabby Petito tomorrow, you know, there's so many instances, but it's always because, one, it's not as easy as it looks. It can't be. It's supposed to be, because you're like, oh, why can't you just leave? But I don't think it's as easy as that, especially when you're vested. You're talking about someone who has a deep-rooted belief, and you're almost challenging their belief, because you're, let's first of all come from the angle of someone who says, I am a faith minister and I believe and have been praying and God was not going to leave me like this. This is not the story that my God has made for me. And you want them to somehow, maybe to them, it feels like they're giving up on their God, because God has, how do they say it again? Hey, God has given them the victory. And for them to just get up and leave without seeing the victory that God has promised them. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a therapist. I'm not, you know, I'm just a regular human being just trying to say, oh my God, what a tragedy. And may her soul rest in peace. But it's not that easy. That much I can say. Because if it were, we wouldn't be talking about it. It's really not that easy. And it's not that easy to be, no matter how big and strong you are, you tend to give more weight to the people you care about, to the words that come out of their mouth. And you don't know if the husband has been consciously or subconsciously or whatever, saying things to her that bite at her self-esteem, that cause her to question herself. I don't know, you know, because you see situations where, and even people that are in these kinds of situations, one day they just get up and they just leave. Some people don't even wait for physical abuse. Once the emotional abuse is getting too much, you're just like, okay, it's all right.
Yeah, but let's focus on the physical abuse, because right. Emotional is more difficult to unpack. You know what I mean?
Right.
The physical is glaring. You know, I'm minding my business. You come and you hit me. They've banned someone for 10 years. You know,
they're minding them. You're saying you're minding your business, but in certain societies, and really in Nigeria, the response to, oh, your husband beat you, is not you're minding your business and your husband beat you. The more likely response and the more prevalent response is, what did you do to provoke him?
No, but here's my point. I don't care about the provocation, okay? Because, you know, people are mouthy. You can be mouthy. You open your mouth and say whatever you want to say. It's not unique to Nigeria. It's everywhere. All right? People talk. People get, when you're in your moment, you don't even, you lose your mind. You start blah, blah, blah. You say whatever you want to say. So somebody asking you what did you do to provoke it is neither here nor there in the grand scheme of things. When we're talking about husband and wife relationship situation, your man, your husband is never supposed to put his hands. First of all, man and woman. Let's not go there. We're talking about genders, period. Right.
Right.
A man is not supposed to put his hand on a woman, period.
End of discussion.
Exactly. Right. All right. Then the man who swore to love you for the rest of it, to be your protector, then he'll be the one doing it. Or is his head correct?
Once again, I say to you, there's so much to unpack with this dynamic, right? Because you're talking about I don't want to use the perfect, but maybe an ideal relationship. No, there's so many different, hold on. There's so many different types of relationships between a man and a woman, or even between married people. You have situations where you have a man who is married to someone who is 10, 15 years his junior or 20 years his junior. The hope is that that relationship is equal. But more likely than not, if this is a relationship that was...
My husband is a good number of years older than me.
Let me just finish. I said if this is a relationship that was anchored in, let's just say 10, 15 years ago, maybe a completely different generation. The woman is more like a, I don't want to call it a helpmate, but she's more like a server to the man. The men almost look at those kinds of women as almost second to their children. So how? They treat them accordingly.
But you do, I'm sorry, I want you to continue talking, but I just told you that that's the my husband and I have a good number of years.
But that's not the dynamic between the both of you.
Okay, so good. Let's talk about that. Why is that not the dynamic?
Because your conditioning is different.
Okay.
Right?
Why
your is conditioning is different. Mom, you're a crazy person. Do you know? Can't be too sure. You know?
I saw one Instagram.
Something is wrong with your head.
What was it? I saw some Instagram reel and someone was talking about a marriage. The only way marriage should work, one person is going to be boring and the other person has to be crazy or something like that. No, I'm not crazy.
But what I am trying to say though is our generation, and I'm sure you and I are in the same generation, but maybe our parents' generation, the generation before them, because a lot of these daddy geos and people are talking about came from that generation. Their own view, their dynamic, the way that they interpret things is very different.
No, I don't think so. And this lady, she was 42 years old.
Oh, well, she's even younger than I thought. Why did I think she was old?
I'm not sure why. And because I like to find as much information as I can before I start talking about something.
Yeah,
and there's not a lot that I could find, but her obituary or whatever, the press release, she's supposedly 42 years old. The Sinach, that one is 50 years old. So this Osinachi,
she doesn't look. 42. Have you seen her picture?
I've seen her picture, but she doesn't wear makeup. So I mean,
what's that got to do with anything?
Where are you going with have I seen her picture? You're trying to
as in I thought she looked older. Yeah.
And I'm telling you that she's just plain. I don't think she didn't look older. She just looked plain. She looked her age, I think. She's just plain. She didn't, you know, do too much fanfare. So, but the bottom line is this, because based on what we're talking about here, the anger towards all the daddy geos, and I'm not saying it's misplaced, because, you know, when you hear stories like that, you're like, how can a person of God see another person being abused and tell the person to stay there? I can understand that. I can understand someone being upset about that. But let's go back to the actual people in the relationship. The horrible man who is abusing this woman and the woman who is staying there and taking it. I don't understand that.
If
November 1st, as we were talking about, if November 1st, this man beat you, he is a horrible person, he's at fault and everything. Come November 2nd and you're still there, at that point, you start accepting responsibility for things that are happening to you. From when we go from November 1st to November 2nd, and you remain there, now you start accepting responsibility for those things that are going on.
And that's where you and I have to diverge, because November 1st, I blame the man. November 2nd, I blame the man. I find it very difficult to blame the victim here. And I say this because it's just not that easy for some people. It really is not.
When we start labeling it blaming, you know, then it looks as if you're saying, you know, good for you. And I'm not saying that. I am saying, and I keep using the same word or the same phrasing, personal responsibility. Okay. This man who is abusive towards you, whatever madness of two may came over him the day he assaulted you, he will continue to be responsible for he for what he did. When you, who are the abused, continue to remain in that situation while you have full control of your faculty, your brain, your two legs, your two hands, your arms, and all that, when you continue to remain there at that point, then you start, you have to start accepting responsibility for you remaining there. So I'm not blaming anybody.
And
I'm not
pointing at you.
I'm not saying doggy. You start saying, hey, how can I handle myself here?
I completely understand what you're saying. And I didn't even get the impression that you were trying to blame anyone, even though I phrased it that way. But the point I'm trying to make is that I cannot, there's no circumstance in which I'm not, and I'm not saying that there's no personal responsibility, but because when it comes to issues of domestic violence, it's a little bit deeper than you or I can tell. So it's very difficult for me in any circumstance to even say, auntie, you too safe, you should have left a long time ago, because it is difficult. November 1st, uncle beats the bejesus out of you. November 2nd, you're packing your load, you're getting ready to leave. Uncle comes and starts begging and crying and saying, I'm never going to do this again, and tells you some story. And maybe the person looks at their life for whatever reason, and they look at their faith and they stay. Or it could be, like I said, that the person has been praying and praying and praying to God to deliver, to change the situation around, and feels that if they leave, they're doubting the power that God has to turn the situation around. I don't know. This whole religious, and maybe that's why people are blaming these daddy geos and all these quote unquote leaders in the church, because people lay a lot of stock by what they say. People believe the words that come out of their mouth. And for whatever reason, if you're in a vulnerable situation, which is where someone who has been domestically abused is in, all bets are awful.
I can understand somebody who has never experienced such and saying it's difficult. And I'm not about to start saying, oh, this. A lot of times when I talk about certain things, I have firsthand knowledge of what I'm talking about. And I hear you when you say, oh, you are listening to your daddy G.O. And as I said, you're listening to somebody whose mandate is to preach, you will remain, you will remain, you will remain. That's his mandate. That's what he's going to teach you. Whenever you go to school, all of us who went to school, graduated and things like that, you sat down, your teacher taught you, if you are the sort of student who just takes it, you know, you're not processing, you're a Xerox, you know what I mean? You're just copying. They're talking and you're recording, but you're not processing. It doesn't make sense to you. All you're doing is regurgitating what somebody told you because I want to get 10 over 10 in the exam. That's not the way to live your life. And I've never been that sort of person. I don't know how to just sit down there and copy. It's got to make sense to me. If it doesn't make sense to me, I'm not going to pass that class. I'm flunking because I don't get it. But the minute I get it and I can explain it to you using my own words, I'm acing the class. That's how life should be. You're not going to go to your pastor or daddy G.O. or your priest, you know, and sit down there. And the man is going, this person you're talking to is a human being like you. You caught him, he's bleeding just like you. He's not a spirit.
He's an anointed of the Lord.
He can be anointed all
he's
day
the
long.
Lord's chosen.
He is not a spirit.
How dare you?
He is still a human being.
Touch not my anointed.
He is still a human being. And what that human being is telling you, he is giving you a perspective. his own, he's not giving you your perspective, he's giving you his perspective. Your mommy Gio is giving you her perspective. So you sit down there and you listen. Yes, they're your teachers. So you listen and you take in what they say. Then you, now you have your life that you have to mix into that whole story they just gave you. And that mess needs to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, you're not learning. So you're in your house. Your husband is beating you black and blue. You go to your daddy Gio and say, this guy is beating you. And your daddy Gio says, I pray for you. Do you feel any kind of resolution to your problem?
Look,
your daddy Gio says, God says you must remain in the marriage. Is that resolution?
Until death do you part.
Imagine that. I beg.
I was talking with someone the other day, and you know, we're talking about something like this, and she said it's weird for her because she felt like unless you're someone who has been beaten before, like why would you get into a marriage? And someone beats you and you think it's okay. Maybe they used to beat you as a child like that, or they used to beat you somehow.
You witnessed it, right?
Any sort of beating would be acceptable to you on any level, that you would even consider forgiving it. There are two sides of this, because there's the other view that the people that have witnessed it, as soon as you touch them, they're out the door because they know it's not going to change. They don't even bother. The minute you touch them, she was telling a story about a friend of hers who had moved to, I don't know if it was New York or Missouri or somewhere, to be with a boyfriend. And a month later, the girl was back in Chicago.
Oh.
And they're like, auntie,
this one.
We thought you had moved. What did you come back for? The girl was like, boy slapped me and I took off the next day. Oh. Case closed. So
my sister.
There are people like that.
You manage your life.
Granted. But it doesn't take away from the fact that even though we keep saying personal responsibility, we cannot refuse to accept that people who are in these kinds of situations and stay, they have passed the point of personal responsibility. They need support to get out of that kind of situation.
What sort of support are you giving somebody who is not willing to, first of all, admit and, you know, acknowledge that they're in an abusive relationship? They are not willing to accept you saying, listen, marriages are not built that way. Okay, you should not be taking abuse for whatever reason. You shouldn't be abusing anyone for whatever reason. How do you support a person who doesn't recognize that they're being abused? And even if they recognize that they're being abused, they don't want to do anything about it. They'd rather stay there.
They're not that they'd rather stay there. Some people are waiting on God. Let's not forget that aspect. That is
exactly what it is. They'd rather stay there because you're waiting on God. You're waiting on God. So you'd rather stay there.
So you're challenging their faith.
I'm not challenging anybody.
I'm saying that's what it's seems. I mean, like, hello. No. The person that's staying there.
That is not saying faith. That you're challenging that is not, faith. They are not. They are lacking faith. To me, that is a lack of faith. Okay. They don't believe that God is going to protect them and is going to show them a better way if they pack their load and get out of there. They don't believe that.
But they don't believe that that is what God has said now.
That's what I'm saying. So it's a lack of faith.
Marriage is till death do us part.
Let me tell you something.
God did not tell you to leave your husband.
The Bible from Genesis to Revelation will give you what you want out of it.
Yes, because even the devil can use the Bible.
You want to believe that the Bible says divorce is frowned upon. It's in the Bible. You want to believe that God said your husband is not supposed to abuse you. It's in the Bible. You want to believe that the God said grounds for leaving your husband, or grounds for your husband to leave you, is for your husband. If your husband is maltreating you, I'll tell you I can open up the Bible and tell you where it is. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is there to soothe your soul. And whatever you start off with, you know, whatever your comfort zone is, you will open the Bible and you will find it there. So let's not bring the Bible into it.
If it is in the Old Testament, or if it is in the New Testament,
it's the Bible.
You have to share
the Bible. It is the word of God.
You have to share.
It is the word of God.
If it's in the Old Testament, it has been washed away. It has been washed away.
There's no such thing. It is the word of God. From Genesis, Revelation, is God that is talking to you. There's no part of the Bible that God said you shouldn't listen to. It's all in there. So let's not bring, you know, the Bible into it. And that's why I'm saying, that's why I keep saying, this is their mandate. However wrong it is their mandate. It is what they believe that they're supposed to be preaching. And that is why I keep saying personal responsibility. At some point, you need to, you know, your brain cells need to start being activated. You need to activate your head and understand why is this person saying what they're saying to me?
I would like to know if her mother is still alive or if her parents are still alive. Because a lot of times in those kinds of situations where it's this kind of aggressive beating, your mother is the one that drags you out of there, come out. But I'm saying that, but I have a friend who was in an abusive relationship. And it's one of those situations where it's hard for them to even tell their family that they're in an abusive relationship.
Yeah, because maybe that person, they told you, no, don't marry this person. You sure, you say he's a liar, must marry this person.
I must go.
Beating you, you don't know how to go and tell your man, this man is beating. You know, that sort of thing.
But you know, you there know? Are even stories of people that leave their marriages because of the husband beat them. They go home and their mothers send them right back. You know, go and mend your fences.
Yes, because when they told you in the beginning, don't marry that man, you say you must marry.
No, now.
Now your parents have told you, your mother will say, oh, me, self, do you know what I've been suffering from your father? My friend, will you go on? Listen, again, as I said, it's personal responsibility. You're not going to go to somebody who has their own world, who has lived their own way, who has zipped their mouth and taken whatever sort of, you know, rubbish that they've taken in their own marriages and it's worked for them. This is what they use to bring you up. When you come and you tell them that story, it does not make sense to them because to them, what is ordinary slap on the face? Do you know how I...
Yeah, it's just beating you.
Go and just go. You know, this is what you have to, at a certain age, I keep talking about adulthood, your brain needs to start telling you how is your body interacting with what you're saying, what you're experiencing with your eyes? Is it working for you? If it's not working for you, exit stage left. You're not going to, your mother's experiences, your father's experiences, your friend's experiences, they're theirs. They're not yours. Someone comes to talk to me right now and they give me their life story and I listen to it. I can understand where they're coming from. If you're asking for advice, I'm going to parlay it into what I've experienced. And I'm going to tell you this is how I see it. But then you have to know how it's doing you in your own life. So at the end of the day, you're responsible for your life.
The world is the way it is because we're all different and all fingers are not equal. So we can't all be the same. We can't all think the same. We can't all reason the same, which is why I keep saying, as much as I agree with you that there's personal responsibility in these kinds of situations, I don't even put it on the victim at all. The only person I hold responsible for this situation is the man.
100%. Unfortunately, I can't be in that space. This is the only scenario where I would be in that space. November 1st, he beat her. November 2nd, she packed her kwarangida and jad. November 3rd, he chased her down to where she was and he killed her. Then he's to blame 100% she is absolved of anything, you know, because she made the move. But when you sit there and this animal is not going to change his animalistic ways, and you make excuses for him because you don't want the world to see you in some funny way. Oh, a divorced woman, and you are a divorced man. What? How is that the end of the world?
Your life, but that's to you.
No. It's not a matter of it's to me. I'm telling you, this is how we keep saying it. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's coming out of my mouth. You're a divorced woman. So what? So bloody what? Look, times have changed. And this is where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a place of many, many years ago. You didn't hear this person killed this person. People aren't talking more about the abuse that there's back then. People weren't talking about the abuse that they had suffered at the hands. Very, very rare offshoots. One time you hear about these things. They're not prevalent. The news is not talking about it. This was back then. Now, every freaking day, you're hearing, you're seeing, you're knowing what is happening. Today's world, to know that this is happening around you, to know that your brother, sister, whatever, everybody's experiencing this, and you choose to remain there. How do we help somebody like that?
Because that person's story is different. That's what they'll tell you.
What does that have to do with anybody's story?
That's why they haven't left. They're okay. Like, that's not my portion.
So then...
That's not my portion.
So then we have made a meeting of the minds, because you have absolutely said that this person has taken that responsibility because this is not their portion. Their portion is to remain in an abusive relationship. So you, at that point, then you can't say, Daddy G, oh, why did you tell her this? You cannot say any of that. Because yes, they
you can,
decided,
because
no, Daddy you cannot.
Has no business no, you telling cannot. People to be staying in abusive relationships, actually. But...
No, you cannot. I'm telling you that you've moved the needle. Because you're saying that this is not that person's story, and that person is choosing to remain there.
It's a difficult one for me, honestly, because like I said, in every circumstance in life, I agree. We all make your choice, do what you need to do. But, you know, people don't always make the best choices. People don't always make the best choices, and
we keep talking about things that are, we keep saying things that are, of course,
it's too sad. It's just too sad. I can't any victim of domestic violence, I cannot say I can only blame the husband. That's my own. I can okay. only blame the husband. I hear what you're saying, but I can only blame the husband. Guys, mad.
I'm not blaming
animal.
I'm not. Again, like I said, I'm not going to use the word
needs
blame.
To be held responsible and accountable.
Yes, I'm going to use the word responsible. The husband is responsible for his role, for his madness. Okay. Day one, day two. If you choose to sit there and allow a potential repeat of that action, you have now accepted your role in that. You have now accepted responsibility. There is no way my husband will try that rubbish with me. It's not even, it's impossible. You know, I mean,
it's impossible to fathom that it would even happen.
It would never happen.
Even if I'm standing in front and provoking, you know, like sometimes women can get really stupid. You watch the movies and they're
everybody
provoking.
Gets stupid.
I'm like, why are you provoking? This guy weighs how much? You just sit on you. Oh, but you just be provoking. And you see the poor guy is like, oh, I can't hit this woman. I can't. You know, and finds a way to just extricate himself from that situation.
I mean, most of the time, if I get into it with B, my BDD, he doesn't want to open his mouth, and I don't like that. I'm like, if I'm talking to you, I want you to talk back. This, I'm all about communication. Don't be mute and not say anything, and then you think a problem is going to be resolved. It's not. You've got to talk. But he's on his like, hey, but you don't let me talk. You blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I do let you talk. When you start, you know, when you start saying something that is not sitting well in my head, I have to immediately interject and tell you, that's not how it works, you know? So it will never get, it never gets to that point because he's already started walking away. I'm the one who go after him and say, my friend, sit down, let's have this discussion. He's walking away. I don't like the walking away bit. I like, use your words as I'm opening my mouth and going. You too, you open your mouth and go.
Really?
You know, really? Let's reach a place where both of us, you know. So I'm arguing with him. Let me just give you an example. This is where I'll give you an example of when it's not going to end well, and I'll give you an example of when it ends well. If I'm arguing with my husband and then his voice gets elevated, it's a wrap, because you're not going to talk louder than me. I don't even understand what realm you live in. Like, you think that that's going to work. That's not going to work. So now you go 10, I'm at 100 immediately. It never works. This is a different scenario. I'm talking and then he's talking, you know, and he's calm. And he's talking calmly to me. And then I realize I'm getting louder for no good reason. And I bring it back down to a zero. Bring it down to a one. You know? And I've pointed that out to my husband before. And I've said, do you remember when we're having this discussion? And this is how you talk to me. And you see how we were able to get to a sensible place. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I remember. In the heat of the moment, it's difficult because if someone's getting is loud in your ear, you don't want to hear it. So I can understand that. But I keep telling my husband a lot of times, I am not an unreasonable person, you know? those triggers, don't get loud with me because I will get loud right back and it won't be cute. But there is a way that you can pull me back. And that's another reason why I knew, yes, this is the man I was going to marry, because when we were dating, that's how it was. If we started talking about something, he had a way of pulling it in to where I could say, okay, you're getting a little over, calm down. And then I'd bring it down. So that's what I'm saying. At some point when this man is being aggressive towards you and you're sitting down and you're taking it, you have to, yeah, at 40, 41, 42, come on.
I mean, like I said, whenever, if we had the magic formula, we would be billionaires, I'm sure, of trying to, what's the difference between people that leave and the people that stay? What can make someone leave an abusive relationship the minute your partner starts being abusive? How can you decondition people from years of programming? There's so much to unpack in all that, and it's just not that easy. It's a sad situation, and I just wish that life was not made up of all these craziness, really. It's too much.
It is.
It's too much.
Life is made up of this craziness, and I think that I wish, and I say this all the time, you don't have to experience it for you to understand it. That's not how things have to be. Okay. Everybody says experience is the best teacher. And yes, I agree that it is. However, you do not have to.
Some things you don't want to experience. Who wants to experience being a punching bag?
My sister, if you have somebody who's coming to you and telling you, this is what I have experienced in my marriage. And then you go home and your husband attempts that thing that somebody told you. Why do you now want to have your own, you know, your own story to tell?
Have your own experience. You know? Yes. There's no need.
Why do you want to?
It's like
you're sitting down. Your friend is there. Her eyes are swollen. Her lip is cut. She has scars, scratches all over her body. And she's telling you what happened. You now go home. Your husband now attempts, and you want to experience it too. Come on. No.
I'd like to understand what it is that turns a man into an animal that he would beat his wife to end her in the hospital. You know, I and we're saying this, we really don't, I can't even be 100% sure that that's the story, because there's the story that she was in hospital with an illness, and then there's the story that it was her husband that put her there. But what would make someone in such a rage that they would use the wife? That's, I mean, and this is someone who cooks your food. Anyway, me, God forbid, I'll never be in that kind of situation. But anybody who beats me, the person should expect to die of arsenic poisoning slow. They will just be dead one day. They won't even know that that's what happened. Because the only way I can stay in that kind of relationship is knowing that in the next 6 months, based on how much arsenic I'm putting in your food, you'll be dead.
No.
You haven't even started.
I'm never.
Rubbish.
That's not even in my mind.
I'm just saying, the only way I would stay.
Right. And now let me tell you. Let me tell you that there's a till death
do us part.
No, no, no. And I'm telling you, it's the day you come at me in an aggressive manner that you want to. First of all, I believe in self-defense. So in that moment, I will defend myself. But we're not going to remain in the same space. You're leaving this house or I'm leaving this house. Whatever the case may be, we're just not going to be in the same space. And don't come back and start bleeding and I'm sorry, this, that. It doesn't work that way. Because when did you see me and I started looking like a punching bag or a wall or something that you would hit? When did I stop looking like your wife, the person you stood in front of?
It's a complete lack of
God and everybody, and say, this is the woman you're going to love and protect. When did I stop being that to you? I don't care how mouthy I am, how loud I get. When did I stop being that to you? And for me to have stopped being that to you, and for you to think that you could come at me like that, don't come back with your stupid sob story. Fuck off.
Oh, wow.
Imagine.
Yeah, unfortunately. Would that it would be that simple. It should be, but it's not.
And I think this is the thing, because these are conversations we should be having with our friends, with our girlfriends, people who are married, you know, or in relationships, dating people, living with people. We need to have these conversations, because right now, as we're speaking, I'm sure there are tons of friends we have who are experiencing this, but they will not open their mouth and they won't say anything.
Right, because for what? So that they will become the conversation. Yeah,
because
of the day.
Exactly, because that's their thinking. That's where
it's
their head is.
It's not necessarily their thinking. It's what's going to happen.
No,
they
but
will
it is
become
also their thinking.
The
it
conversation
doesn't.
But
that
of
is the whole point, and we need to have those conversations. We need to.
Not everybody you wants to be that.
That is the problem. Then tomorrow, why is it fodder? Now, look at everybody's talking. Now you're fodder. And the fodder is too late.
It's too late. Too little.
Now
too
you
late,
are fodder. Yeah. No matter what, they will talk about you, whether it's in the beginning, in the middle, or the end. Your conversation is going to come up. Someone is going to talk about you, and you don't want it to be. We don't want to have the conversation at the end. The conversation we want to have about you is, if in fact you are in an abusive relationship, you got up, you got the help, you were out of there, and you took the help. That is the conversation we want to have. That's what makes sense. Not, she refused to go, and now she's dead. So let them talk about you. Let people talk about, what is it? Let people talk about you, and let the conversation be, you got out. Your friends help you. Daddy Gio said you should stay. Daddy Gio, walk. Nonsense. Your friends got you out. You saw what was happening, and you said, nah, I'm not going to be a statistic. I'm out of this mess. That's the conversation we should have. Till today, we will have friends who are not having this conversation, who are sitting down. They may even be the ones forwarding the story. They don't want to talk about you for fear of they are carrying your name on their mouth.
Yeah.
People are pointing at me. My sister, let us talk about it. Let's help you out. That's what I want to do. I want to help you out. Marriage,
well, I mean,
to be a place
for
of
me, I'm
happiness
like, even,
and joy.
Even if you don't want to talk to your friends, find a trusted source. There are domestic what do they call them? Their helplines, their support systems for people who don't want to be, you know, if you don't want to tell your friends, find somebody you trust and get out of there. The most important thing is for them to get out of there, right?
When you get comfortable talking to your friends, when you get comfortable being embarrassed by your story, I'm saying this right here, right now, this is Mrs. S telling you, once you get comfortable with that, you're building up your strength. You're getting stronger. When you can walk out and somebody can say, ah, look at her, she's divorced, and you say, yes, I am divorced and I am alive and healthy. When you get comfortable sharing your story with your friends, when you own your narrative, because at the end of the day, like as I said, someone is going to talk about you. They will always talk about you. Somebody knows what's happening with you. They're spreading that story. Own your narrative. Get out of a relationship that is not working for you. I will never, if.
I mean, all I'm saying is get out however you need to get out. If you don't feel like you don't want, you, if you feel like you don't want help from your friends, don't let that stop you from not getting out, is what I'm saying. Get out. The important thing is to get out. Get out of that situation. So there are helplines if you're in the United States. Even in Nigeria, there are helplines. There are places where you can go that people have been, you know, they're given resources to help you out of that situation.
Leave don't stay. Nope, exactly. When don't you stay. Sit down there, you're giving this person permission to continue treating you badly. I'm not saying that that person cannot change. I'm not saying that there isn't a realm that this person will see the error in their ways and say, God, forgive me. I want to be a changed man and change. That is also a possibility. But it's not going to happen if you remain. Okay? You have to, listen, he comes at you and you tell him, watch your step, because the minute your hand touches me, we're done. And if his hand touches you,
You make that threat. You got to follow through.
You have to see it through. And you say, get out. Or if you don't want to leave, I'll leave. You leave. Then he knows you're serious. He knows you're not playing games. What is it? And then he's going to spend the rest of his life trying to be better and to prove to you that he's better. Or he'll move on and start abusing somebody else. That's what's going to happen. But
it won't be you in the grave.
It will not be you in the grave. And you're not going to make him change by staying in it. He will never change. The only way he will change is you tell him, you touch me, you're done.
Even when people follow through, it's very hard for people to change. There was a situation where someone was in a relationship with a guy, and the guy was complete alcoholic. This was an alcoholic. And I don't remember if there was domestic violence involved as well. But they went to church. She said, I'm not doing this anymore. The church counseled. And, you know, she says, I'm not doing again. And then she left. They separated for a bit. And then they were getting counseling in that separation. And after like maybe 3 years or 4 years, I think she thought, okay, you know, the counseling has worked and they got back together and probably give it another 2 years. And he was back to his old tricks. And they're divorced now. You know, it's just difficult.
We're talking about alcoholism. The folly of any human being to believe that they are the ones who can, you know, effect some type of change in another person's life. That is so foolish. It's ridiculous. You cannot change anybody. That person changes themselves. You can influence. You can be the reason that someone wants.
Yeah. I think this is what she thought was happening, because you the cannot, guy was, he was, she,
she's ridiculous.
He was in his program. He was doing his steps. He was doing everything he needed to do.
Yeah, so maybe she Maybe she was his trigger. Sometimes, you know, you have to accept what life is showing you. You know, somebody
divorced.
You looked at exactly, and she probably stopped drinking now.
She gave it her best shot.
Anymore. She's not an alcoholic. Auntie, you are triggering the man.
Oh Lord.
You are the trigger.
You're an idiot.
Leave this to her. You left him. Yeah. He got clean. You came back together. Or guys drinking again.
You're an idiot.
People have to be able to recognize what's right there in front of their faces and not make excuses for things that they're seeing or hearing. Or, well, this person said, how is it affecting your body?
My dear, all that one is akada. All we know, what we do know from life is not as straightforward as that. Everything you're saying would be, it's academic. It's not life. Life is messy.
It is life. It can be life. It is life. Some people and life is messy because people make those life choices, messy.
Whatever the case may be, life is messy.
Life is messy for people.
It's not like that.
People make life messy.
Whatever.
That's what it is. You choose. You have to be able to reason things out. Why am I staying here? Listen, a lot of people, they've put their pros and cons. Oh, he gives me money. The D is good. Oh, I look good when I'm standing next to him. You have written it. Okay? Your pro list to you is now longer. Meanwhile, on the cons list, he beats me. And maybe that's the only one there. To you, that one is nothing when you've counted 10 pros.
Meanwhile, in reality, your parents used to beat you.
10 times, 100 times more than your 10.
Maybe that one, the parents used to beat her to pieces when she was a child. So it's no big deal to be beaten by her husband. I don't know, my dear.
That's what we're talking about. So when you cannot change somebody's reality for them, they have to decide it for themselves. And if that person has chosen to remain in what they feel is their reality and they're comfortable being in that, you're not going to be an outsider pointing fingers at people who also, as I said, like the GO's mandates, and I'm not saying it to say they're not wrong. They are wrong, but that's their mandate. Their mandate is to preach this. You're not going to be pointing fingers at that person. You have to look at the person who has chosen to remain in that situation, knowing fully well that this could end badly, and it has ended badly. May her soul rest in perfect peace. It's really, really sad. I pray for people. I hope, as I said, like in this day and age where we're seeing more of these stories, I hope there are people who are seeing this and saying to themselves, I don't want this to be me.
I hope that people who are in these situations, even if they can't, that there is someone, a trusted friend, anyone who's able to get them out of that situation, even if they can't do it themselves. Because sometimes
they can get themselves out.
Well,
you know,
sometimes people need help.
Put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. If only. Sometimes people need that help. They need the support. They need the extra
voice. We're talking in circles. As I said, this one lady, you cannot tell me that in the whole world of people she knows, not one person came to her to tell her, let me help you out.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Exactly. It was her decision to remain there. If the story is real and this guy was abusing her,
because we don't know, and has had
a long history of abuse where she's concerned. If it's true and this is what she's been experiencing, she should have put one foot in front of the other and just gently left. It's a sad story, and unfortunately, you know,
the moral of this story is if you're in an abusive relationship, please leave.
Just leave.
Please leave.
Carry your quarantine.
Because we have too many stories. Gabi Petito, Osnao Osinachi. We can just keep adding names to the list of people who have died at the hands of domestic violence.
I'm telling you, you have to say to yourself, I matter, you know, my life is important. Even if you don't think you matter to yourself, there are a lot of people who are looking up to you. You can't say I matter to other people. But you have to say to yourself, this isn't right. And I cannot change this man.
Yeah. Did you watch Respect?
What is that?
RESPECT, the Aretha Franklin bio that was done by Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, no, I didn't watch it. Mm. Why? She was in an abusive relationship?
Apparently.
I'm telling you, you have to. You just have to say, look.
And it took a while before she left.
I'm getting out of here, yeah. And if you, how, what was the conditioning? Like you said, was she, did she come from an abusive relationship? I mean, family where her parents abusing each other? You know, how young was she when she got into this relationship with this person? You know, conditioning, you know, but at some, when you get to an adult age,
my dear, this adult ages can be overrated sometimes.
Well, so. Whether you want to overrate or whatever the case, everybody has there's stages of life in every animal kingdom, plant life. There is stages of life. There are things that happen at different stages of your life. And when you get to adulthood, you should be a fully well-adjusted human being.
I like the word you use, should be.
You should be, right. And you should be able to make reasonable decisions. I cannot blame you 5 years old because you stayed. I cannot blame you 15 because you stayed. I cannot blame you even 18. 21 self, I can give you a little pass. When you start heading into 22, 23, 24, why? What can I say to you? When you get to 40, a grandmother.
Ewo.
I'm telling you, in some parts, at 40, you're already a grandmother. They've told you, thank you, grandma. They are calling you grandma. At your grandmothering age, you don't know how to check yourself. Come on now. Come on. It's sad. I want to talk about this because I want people who are listening to understand. People are going to talk about you. If that's what you're afraid of because you're dealing with you're sitting in an abusive relationship, let that not be your story. Get out of there. You know, get people to understand you're not going to change another person. No one can come today and say, oh, I'm changing. You know, I'm going to change you. You will change me. No, honey, you're not going to change me. That's not going to work. I cannot say I'm going to change my husband. I can't change him. He has to be the one to decide this is what I can't be responsible for the things he does. Are you kidding me? A grown man. He can say because of his love for me or because of wanting to be with me, he's making this change. Ultimately, it is still his decision. He may have done it for me. I may have influenced it one way or another, but the decision is his. So don't sit in an abusive relationship thinking you're going to change him. There's something you can do. Definitely, as I said, influencing. Maybe there are habits you can change or things or whatever that can help him start seeing, oh, this thing I'm doing is wrong. But at the end of the day, you cannot change him. And if you yourself, you're not willing to make adjustments, so you're not triggering. And this is not to say you are at fault for doing anything. There's something going on. So if you can't make adjustments, if you cannot accept that you cannot change him, all these things, my sister, put on your shoes.
Jack. And leave. Just run. Watch respect. I mean, it's the same age-old story, really, but...
Yeah, I'll look for it. I mean, it's probably the same Tina Turner story, so...
I actually forgot about Tina Turner, right.
Tina Turner, I've seen that one. We know Ike. We know what he did, eh?
Oh, Lord.
So, these stories, they're there.
To inform.
Exactly. That this is why people make these stories. They put it out there. And if you have heard of it or seen it, know someone who has experienced it, why do you think you must experience? What is it?
Because it's not your portion.
You know, so it's not your portion, but you're sitting there. You're allowing the man to bring his hand to your face,
It's not your portion.
You don't need to experience it. That's just not something that you have to experience. Just go, leave. You know? Well, anyway.
It's crazy.
That's
but we live in a violent world. Yes, no.
What does that have to do with anything?
That's why people can feel free to be slapping other people and invading other countries however they like. Wake up in the morning. invade your neighbor. My dear Pico.
I'm telling you that we need to talk more about love. We need to preach more about love. I don't know if this is going to change. You know, talking about this invading thing. I was the other day, I was just sitting down, I was having a thought about it because they were talking about Putin's daughters, you know, their something about them, their accounts or whatever. And I said, thank God he has children. Because I don't know anything about his life. I just immediately said, thank God he has children. Because think, what if this man had nothing, nobody?
Scorched earth.
Do you understand?
We'll all go down with him.
Oh, please don't add me in that equation. I'm going down anyway. I mean, I was shocked because honestly, because I was like, does this man have children? And then when the news they were talking about his daughters, I said, and daughters too. Thank God he has children. Hey, because who knows?
We'll be sure that we would have hit the nuclear button by now.
please. Let's not put things into the ether. But thank God he has children.
See your life?
You see your life. You see your life.
Oh, Lord. All right, my darling. Have a blessed Palm Sunday.
Amen. Oh, amen.
All right, baby girl.
Circle back.
Thank you for joining us.
Leave us a 59-second voice note by clicking on the message button.
Comment, like, share, search for Tea with Mrs. S on the internet.
And if you like what you hear, subscribe by clicking on the support button.